Hey there, how you doing today on this Tuesday in St. Louis? This is the Bernie Mikla Show on my YouTube channel. Thank you for subscribing. We are past 7,000 subscribers now, adding them pretty quickly, adding you pretty quickly. So thank you very much if you are subscribing, and if you're not, please consider it. Thank you so much. Hit the like button, and we appreciate your comments. I was in there a lot yesterday trying to get to as many as I could. I do the best I can, believe it or not. Before we get started, a couple of things. A little under the weather today. Don't need any sympathy or anything like that. It's nothing major, but I'm just kind of not all the way locked in, not feeling 100%, but you got to talk hurt. That's the way I put it. And I'll be okay. My only hope is that I'm not any less coherent than I normally am, because I can be incoherent in my videos talking about everything, right? The second thing is I've done a bad job of not talking about the caps. I mean, I've added some, but some I've only worn a couple times. You may have missed it when I explained it. So I'll try to do a brief introduction. I mean, a very brief introduction every day from now on. I do have some more caps on the way. This one is a beauty. It's one of my favorites. It's the 1927 St. Louis Browns. Now, one of their better pitchers was Sad Sam Jones. I mean, I just had to laugh. I love that nickname. It's awesome. Sad Sam Jones. And you may wonder, why was Sam so sad? Well, I don't know for sure, but the fact that the Brownies in 1927, they were 59-94-2. I don't understand the ties, but whatever. And they finished seventh in an 8-team National League. The Yankees won American League. See what I mean about feeling a little woozy? So they finished seventh among the 8 American League teams that year. The 1927 Yankees, they went 110-44. So maybe Sam had to pitch against them a lot of times, and maybe that made him sad or sadder. I don't know. They did have some good players, though, on the offensive side. First baseman George Sisler, one of the greats, Hall of Famer. Outfielder Ken Williams, who was a really terrific hitter. The catcher, Wally Shang, was one of the best hitting catchers in baseball. And, of course, they had Sad Sam Jones, Lefty Stewart, and a couple other guys. 59-94-2. But what a beautiful hat this is. I even wore my natty gray T-shirt just to match it, out of tribute to the Brownies. Anyway, let's move on. Things obviously heating up on the Nolan Arenado front. Yesterday, you had John Mozeliak, president of baseball operations, meeting with media that cover the team and down in Dallas at the winter meetings. And you know what he said by now, but I'm just going to kind of characterize what I think is important. He clarified the situation with Nolan Arenado. He clarified it a lot because John Mozeliak would not go forward with media surrounding him and talking about how it's his intention to trade Nolan Arenado. He freely acknowledged they're working on it. They're talking to teams. Probably more teams have been shown some interest since Juan Soto signed with the Mets. You just have to kind of follow the bouncing ball there. And even John Mozeliak even offered a loose timetable. He said he didn't think a deal would get done this week, but he added that deal could get done, he thinks, will get done by the end of December. So listen, you don't need me to tell you this, but I just want to reiterate, man, that is an obvious indicator that this trade's going to go down. With who? We don't know. We'll talk about a few of that. The second thing that tells us this is getting close, no doubt, this tells us it's getting close. And again, I'm not trying to insult the intelligence of those of you who already know this in terms of following sort of the play-by-play on social media. But this morning, Joel Wolf, who is Nolan Arenado's agent, he told reporters, all kinds of reporters, but St. Louis-based reporters, that the Cardinals have given him, Joel Wolf, the agent, permission to be involved in the negotiation process with specific teams. So if the agent's getting involved, you know, it's almost like the final check from Arenado's end as far as what would be acceptable as a destination. I'm sure Joel Wolf is asking all these clubs, well, how many there are, we don't know about what their plans are. Are they trying to win in 2025? What about 2026? What about 2027? Because Joel Wolf, I like his candor. Not that I would expect him to say anything different, but he was asked in terms of, well, what is Nolan Arenado's priority? And he said, and I quote, a team that he thinks is going to win now and consistently for the remainder of his career. He wants a team that has the throttle down. Not saying the Cardinals don't. Joel, that's okay. You can say the Cardinals don't have the throttle down. That's all right. Nobody's offended here. I don't even think the Cardinals would be offended there. He said, but a team where he can jump right in and they're going to win right now. He's good. Nolan's a unique individual. It's hard to describe his headspace at any one moment. But he's good. All right. Joel Wolf was asked a bunch of questions, and he said, quote, the Cardinals are motivated to move him, and Nolan is willing to strongly consider it if it's the right place, but he's not just going to go anywhere. He has a full no-trade clause, so he has that right, and he's a veteran. We hope that something good happens. But he's not going to approve and move his family to somewhere where it's going to be sidestepping. He's in a good place with the Cardinals, and he's not going to just – go. Okay. Understood. Wolf said a list of acceptable destinations is, quote, bigger than you would think. And he stressed that geographical location as the number one factor isn't, in fact, the end-all be-all priority for the Southern California native. So And he also reiterated that Arenado is willing to play first base as well. So that would increase perhaps the pool of teams that would be talking to the Cardinals, at least checking things out. But they must be getting somewhat close with some teams because Joel Wolf wouldn't be in the middle of it with the permission of the St. Louis Cardinals. And winning, obviously, is the priority. And we knew that, but it's good to hear that coming from the agent. So where are some of the places? Look, man, it's really hard to do them. Well, it's easy to do the matchmaking. One thing I don't do, and I apologize, I never will do, is I don't make up trades, okay? I don't do the fantasy. You know, I'm Branch Rickey. I'm going to just like string together a deal in my imagination. Oh, the Cardinals send them here. And then they get this, and then they get that. I'm not doing all that. I read this stuff every single day, and I'm like, man, will people just quit throwing you-know-what against the wall? I mean, nobody knows exactly what's being offered the Cardinals. And some of these proposed deals I see from the imagination of my fellow writers or broadcasters, I mean, they just can't fling this stuff. They're covering every wall, wherever they work, like I work in the lair, that's what I call my home office. They're covering the walls with just every possibility and like 20,000 fantasy trades. I'll be glad when he gets traded because I have a headache. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's why I'm not feeling all that great. Anyway, I got to be grouchy about that part. All right. A loose list would include, in no particular order, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Astros, maybe Philly, maybe the Mets. And that's one of those follow the bouncing ball things because suppose they lose Pete Alonso to free agency. That's first base. And I the Mets have a couple of corner infielders, you know, that Vientos is a really good player. You know, he could play third base. He could play first base. But I'm just saying, you know, the way Steve Cohen's going nuts, trying to sign everybody, I'm just exaggerating. You never can rule the Mets out if they lose Alonso, if they don't sign Alonso. Listen, the Blue Jays as a team make sense. They're looking for a third baseman, and they are trying to win. And it seems like the poor Blue Jays are trying to interest everybody in coming to Canada. And, you know, Toronto's is a world-class city. Don't get me wrong, man. I'm not putting down Canada. Not at all, especially Toronto. But I'm just saying, I don't think it's high on the list of major league players that have really good options. That's all I'm trying to say. And Nolan Arenado has the full no trade clause, as we know. You know what a sleeper team is, except I don't think the Cardinals would have the cojones to trade him to the Milwaukee Brewers. They lost Willy Adames, their shortstop, and he signed with the Giants, and the Brewers' plan is to slide the third baseman they got in the Josh Hader trade, Joey Ortiz, who's a good player. Their plan is to move him to shortstop because he is a natural shortstop. He moved over to third because they needed him. So they would have Ortiz at shortstop, which means a big, big opening. In fact, the biggest need the Brewers have is third base. Would the Cardinals do that? I'd be really surprised unless the Brewers made a real good offer. I mean, I personally don't care, right? You know, if the trade makes sense, so what if you trade him in the division, right? His offense has been in decline. He can bounce back a little, and maybe in that ballpark, but whatever. I don't want to get too lost in the weeds here. You know, the Tigers are an interesting dark horse candidate because they seem like they're very, very much poised to win and continue to win with the young base that they've established. Does he want to go to Detroit? Is he a Motown guy? Who knows? Did I mention the Red Sox? Who knows? Anyway, I've even seen some people say, hey, the Nationals ought to spend some money. They're close to winning. They ought to go get them. Okay, I don't think that's where he wants to go. But again, I don't know. Listen, the Yankees make sense for a lot of reasons because the Yankees have said all along this offseason what they would like to do is take Jazz Chisholm, who they got from the Marlins last summer in the deadline, and they moved him to third base because they needed a third baseman, and he was fine there, but they want to move him back to where he belongs, which is second base, which would open third base for an Arenado deal. And the Yankees did not make a qualifying offer to Anthony Rizzo, the aging first baseman, so he's out. They have this guy, Ben Rice, who I think is a pretty good young hitter to play first base, but I think they're going to want to add a big name. They're going to want to make a splash. Theory, it's New York. They just lost Soto, right? So Arenado willing to play first base. Listen, the Yankees could use a third baseman or a first baseman or someone who can do both things, move around. I don't know. If he wants to play first, I'm sure the Yankees would play him at first some. Primarily, they put him at third because that's where his defensive value is. Joel Sherman, my friend from the New York Post and MLB Network, here's what he wrote about this, and he wrote a piece today. I'm a subscriber to the New York Post simply because of their baseball coverage, which is excellent. So as a subscriber, I got access to a piece that didn't go out to everybody. I don't mind sharing with you, and I don't think Joel Sherman would mind me sharing it with you. He wrote, and I quote, the Cardinals are open for business, and Arenado has 3 years at $74 million due. The Rockies are still paying $10 million of that. For luxury tax purposes, he would carry a $23.07 million charge for 2025. Joel Sherman continued, quote, Arenado is still an above-average fielder, though not the guy who won 10 straight gold gloves. From 2013 through 2022, Arenado is no longer the 30-plus 100 RBI factor he was for seven straight 162-game seasons. That doesn't include 2020. From 2015 through 2022, which included a third-place NL MVP finish in 2022. Arenado's OPS that season was 891. It has fallen to 774. And 719 the past two seasons. The perception is that as he approaches age 34 in April, he might have lost some of his bat speed. This is factually correct. And that New York might not be the best landing place for a player with his intensity. That's interesting. That's a good way of saying grouchy, That's Joel. That, I would substitute the word crabby or grouchy in there, but okay. I'll roll with intensity, man. To trade for him, Sherman said, you would have to believe that getting out of St. Louis and to a sure contender would revive him for the next few years. That's a very sound theory. Now, by the way, I meant to put the Dodgers on that list because some of you probably already wonder, listen, you must have a bad head cold or something. You must be delirious because how could you leave the Dodgers off that list because Nolan Arenado is like all but begging. I mean, he's going to set up under one of the freeways out there with a sign. Dodgers, I need help. I need a home. Anyway, no, the Dodgers should belong on the list, but maybe this was me reading something yesterday and thinking, well, everybody just assumes LA. I don't know about that. Let me read you. This was reported everywhere, but in case you missed it, you know, Andrew Friedman runs the Dodgers. He's the president of baseball, everything, right? But Brandon Gomes is his general manager, who's the point man in discussing trades, at least until it gets down to the nitty gritty. And Brandon Gomes, and this could be posturing by the Dodgers to send the message like, well, we're not desperate for Arenado. We don't need Arenado. You know, this could be their way of playing poker. And they play poker pretty much better than anybody. And smartest front office in baseball. It helps to have hedge fund billionaires that own the team. But they're also really, really smart. Player development, drafting, international market. And they make smart trades for the most part. But anyway, Brandon Gomes went out of his way at the winter meetings Monday to remind everyone that they love Max Muncy, their third baseman. And he wanted to shut down the idea of the Dodgers want to bring someone in to play third base. Like, he went out of his way to get this message across loud and clear. Quote, Muncy is going to play third base for us. That's pretty definitive, right? Quote, he's such a big piece of what we do, and he has been a staple. So, yeah, Max is playing third base. Unless that's some type of bluff for negotiating purposes. Sounds pretty adamant to me. First base is not open because that's where Freddie Freeman is. The Arenado LA stuff, well, this is stuff that we all know. You know, Arenado, team's interests are going to want Arenado to eat at least a portion of his remaining contract. But Mozeliak added on Monday that he had not yet felt any type of financial must have this, must do that type of demands from teams in his negotiation. But he is looking to reduce payroll. Here's the deal. $74 million is what he's owed. Even if you eat half that, and I'm not saying the Cardinals want to do that, you're still saving money, right? Seriously, you're still saving money because you wouldn't owe him the full $74 million. You'd owe him 50% of it or maybe a little less. I don't know. It depends on what and you all know this, but just to reiterate, it depends on what the Cardinals are willing to give up in terms of taking on some of that salary to make it a lighter load for the team that gets Arenado. Because the way it works in baseball trades like this, if a team that's trading the player is willing to gobble up a lot of the contract or a good percentage of the contract, then the team trading the player can expect to get more in return in a trade for that player. So we just have to wait and see how that plays out. Or wait a minute. Let me throw some stuff against the wall. Let me make up 25,000 trades proposals. Y'all need to get some sleep. Seriously. Put the laptop away. Put the microphones away. Get some sleep. I say with loving affection. What about the Red Sox? Now, there's a lot of people that are trying to match make the Red Sox and the Cardinals, and I'm not saying forget about it, not saying that at all, but there was something interesting that came up yesterday. And again, who knows what about posturing and trying to send messages, right? You have to decode all this stuff. But the Red Sox, you know, at least they've called the, you know, I trust Sean McAdam, the longtime baseball writer in Boston. He said that the Red Sox and the Cardinals have had some preliminary discussions, and that got everybody all fired up. So, of course, we had to read 20, around 90 make-believe trade proposals, you know. So everybody's losing their mind. Many gaskets blown. The interesting thing about the Red Sox, they're also viewed as a destination for free agent third baseman Alex Bregman if Houston can't extend his contract or won't extend his contract at the price point that Bregman and his eight representation believe he's worth. So into that setting, into that mix, Alex Cora, the manager of the Red Sox, said something really interesting in that he said, you know, because Cora was in Houston as a coach, that's why Cora got suspended with the spy stuff and the during the postseason and all that. I'm not here to relitigate that stuff, believe me. But Cora said, hey, I've always thought that Alex Bregman not only could play second base, he'd be really good at playing second base. Okay. And the Red Sox need a second baseman. But does Alex Bregman want to do that? He's been a third baseman for a long time, right? I'm just throwing that in there. But if you look at the Red Sox, they need a right-handed bat. They definitely need to improve defensively. In fact, they've listed it. Their management has listed that as a priority this offseason. So then they'd have to move to get Arenado. They'd have to move Rafael Devers. Or is it Devers? I always say his name wrong. They have to move him from third to first base. They have a first baseman, Tristan Casas, but there's speculation they're willing to trade him for a first baseman, for a pitcher. He's been their first baseman. But yesterday, and I won't read you the stuff, the Red Sox were absolutely adamant. Craig Breslow, who runs the baseball office, and Alex Cora, they were adamant. They said, we don't know where this stuff is coming from. We have not said that we want to move Devers off third base. This is just people making stuff up. Okay, time will tell. If they got Arenado to play third base, he would be reunited with Trevor Story, who is finally healthy 100% after having shoulder surgery. So that's a pretty damn good left side of the infield defensively, at least if we go by their past play at those positions. So I wanted to throw, you know, some of those things out there. You can conjure up what you want as far as trade proposals, and I won't make fun of you. I'm making fun of the media. I ain't going to make fun of fans, but I also don't play the Rainier games with this stuff. I'm now convinced that this will happen. I've had my doubts, right? And I guess it could still fall apart. But John Mozeliak, as I said, he would not come out and speak with such confidence about publicly, speak with such confidence about the likelihood of an Arenado trade. He just wouldn't do it. He's cautious by nature. So I assume this will get done. I want to ask you this. This is like a part two. What do you think about Nolan Arenado's career in St. Louis? Let's just assume a trade will happen. We will be back. I'll be back to analyze the trade as soon as one is made. All right. That's a whole nother thing. That's for later. What do you think about his 4 years in St. Louis? And I think there's a lot of opinions floating around out there, and I understand that. I think some people are saying the Cardinals failed him because he wanted to come here because he wanted to win, and they did win in 21, and they did win in 22. And I'm talking about having a good team that got into the playoffs, and then they didn't do anything in the playoffs. Dodgers in 21, the wild card game. Phillies losing two straight at home in the best of five wild card round series. And so even though the Cardinals had good teams in those 2 years, yeah, I like the revisionist history. Everyone, like, people just act like those teams were garbage. No, they weren't. Okay? You get into the tournament, there's a lot of randomness. Stuff happens, good or bad. Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt didn't do a thing really in those two postseasons to help the Cardinals. But that doesn't mean you blame them for the fact that as teammates together with the Cardinals, only 21, 22, 23, 24, that they never came close to the ultimate prize. They never really came close, 21, 22, 23, 24, to even getting to the NLCS. It happened in 2019. Goldie was the first baseman. Arenado was still in Colorado. So there's a lot of, you know, we can point a lot of fingers, but I want to review something here. Just let's go through this. I think it's fine to do. And I'll give you my opinion about the one question I have, the thing that will always bother me about the failure of Arenado Goldschmidt tandem, corner infield tandem for four seasons, the failure to even get to a league championship series, right? We'll get to that in a minute or two. But a quick review, you know, in his four seasons with the Cardinals, he was voted to three All-Star games. He won two Gold Gloves. He won a Silver Slugger. He finished third in the National League in the MVP voting in 2022. And if you believe in wins above replacement, and you sure don't have to, but if you do, you know, Goldschmidt won the MVP in 2022, but Nolan Arenado led all National League players with 7.2 wins above replacement. That was second only to Aaron Judge in all of baseball that year. So he didn't win the MVP, but he had an MVP caliber season, and he did finish third. But we talked about the drop-off, right? Like in 21-22, his first 2 years, and I talked about this in a fairly recent video. 21-22, he slugged 513. In his final two seasons as a Cardinal, he slugged 426. That's a drop of 87 points. He averaged 32 home runs his first two seasons, averaged 21 home runs his last two seasons as a Cardinal. Used an OPS plus, 100 is average. He was 34% above the league average in 21 and 22, putting them together. And he was only 4% above league average in his final two seasons with the Cardinals. So that's a drop of 30%. That's a pretty big drop from the first 2 years to the last 2 years. And if you look at, you know, OPS, the first 2 years, 848. The last 2 years, 746. That's a drop of 102 points. These things are all very considerable, and that's why there are serious questions. I'm sure all these interested teams are asking each other and their analysts, like, well, what can we count on getting it from this guy, right? Look at how it's just the decline really hit home last season when he slugged 394 and he had 16 home runs. You know, that's a long way down from where he had been for a long time. The other thing is that the team, I'm not saying it's Goldschmidt and Arenado's fault. There's a lot of fault to go around, as I've said. But listen, they didn't exactly help the cause in a major way in 23 and 24. You know, the Cardinals, their first two seasons here, the Cardinals had the fourth best winning percentage. Let me rephrase this. In their first two seasons together here in St. Louis, 21 and 22. Over those 2 years, the Cardinals were number four in the National League in winning percentage and number eight overall. But in 23 and 24, they were 11th in winning percentage in the National League and 22nd overall. That also coincided with a drop in productivity and, you know, for Goldschmidt and Arenado at the same time. They both started to spiral and go down offensively, although Arenado had a much harder crash in 2024. So we could say, well, they did nothing in the postseason. The Cardinals did nothing in the postseason. I don't feel sorry for them, that type of thing. Okay, I get it. Again, I ain't telling you what to think. I'm just kind of sussing all this out. And some people want to put everything on Bill DeWitt and John Mozeliak because why not? to me, would ever fall off in the St. Louis Cardinals baseball program, where the Cardinals were consistently good, if not great, for a long time. And the last 2 years, even though they won 83 games, which was more than they should have in 2024, let's not get carried away. So the decline of Cardinals baseball isn't because Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt having their own offensive declines. To me, the decline of Cardinals baseball is a much larger picture. And to me, it's on the owner and the president of baseball operations. It's as simple as that. But we can express, if you are inclined to do so, if you want to express disappointment in the way Goldie and Arenado kind of began to lose it as they aged in those final two seasons together after 2022. Then you looked at where they were at the end of last season. I mean, it's a pretty big drop. So you can fuss about that. I have. We can say that was really disappointing. Nothing wrong with saying that, because it was. But ultimately, the people that run the ball club and own the ball club are responsible. And when you get Arenado and you get Goldschmidt, you have them together, you can make the case you could have done more to put a team around them. Now, that's true. I'm not going to push back on that, because there's always a way to do more or a reason to do more. In 2021, for example, their starting pitching just blew up early in the season, and they were trying to stitch a rotation together all season long because they didn't do their work before the 21 season to make sure they had enough pitching depth in their rotation. And I wrote about it. I talked about it. Everyone that I know in the media made a big case about this, and fans made a big, big case about that too. Before the fact, not second guessing. It was just like, well, wait a minute. They're going to go into 2021 with this rotation? Have they not learned a thing about the danger of having thin depth with your starting pitching? This thing could blow up on them, and they simply don't have the reserve strength with starting pitching. And that's exactly what happened. People called it in advance. And so they go into 2021, and you know, looking back on it, it's amazing. You know, it's a good thing that their offense in the second half really kicked in, especially those outfielders. It's amazing that they won, what is it, what did they win? 91 games, I think, and got to the playoffs, right? And the trade deadline acquisitions of J-Hap and John Lester, listen, they were not big splash moves because both of those guys were at the end. In fact, they didn't pitch beyond 2021. But they did a commendable job under the circumstances. The Cardinals just needed two starters, and they pitched respectably. And yeah, you don't have to go looking up ERAs and all that stuff. I'm not saying that they got Verlander and Scherzer, okay? But they filled a void, and they did a good job, key phrase, under the circumstances. Could the Cardinals have been more aggressive? Well, yeah, they always can be more aggressive. But we know how this is. They're not. And that's been one of the downfalls, the reasons for one of the downfalls. I'm getting this mixed up. One of the reasons for the downfall. I told you I was a little woozy today. But in 2022, like I saw someone write locally, you know, Cardinals had a good team in 2022. And, you know, the front office never really strengthened that team. What? I mean, what? Listen, those trades in 2022 for Jose Quintana and then Jordan Montgomery, they were terrific for the St. Louis Cardinals. They were absolutely terrific, okay? Let me remind you, they made, after the deals, they combined for 23 starts. Their combined ERA was 2.56. And in the 23 games that Monty or Quintana started, the Cardinals went 17-6. And somebody's right. Well, they didn't really do all. They didn't do that much. Listen, there's a million things to put the hammer on John Mozeliak about that. Those two deals, that doesn't go on the list. They were really outstanding trades for the Cardinals, okay? And those guys played a huge role. And Quintana gave them a chance They should have won game one of the Philly series. He pitched, what was it, five, maybe six? It was five or six shutout innings. He was brilliant. The bullpen built the bridge to the ninth inning. Ryan Helsley was coming back from that finger injury. He kind of freaked out. He melted down. Ali Marmol just sat there and watched like somebody sitting behind the dugout eating popcorn. And before you know it, the Cardinals with a 2-0 lead entering the ninth inning, boom, smithereens, right? And that team was dead after that. They had no response the next night. They got eliminated in two straight. They didn't score a run the next night. And the Phillies, yeah, when you're going up against Wheeler and then Aaron Nola, it's a tough assignment. But that's baseball, okay? So my regret, if I'm going to talk about a regret for Arenado and Goldie and wasting a year, okay, it would be 2022 because the Cardinals had won 93 games. They were a legitimately good team in 2022. And I don't care how you want it. Listen, we can parse it. Well, they did play in the NL Central. Yeah, I know. They've been there for a long time. And the NL Central rarely has been strong. That one year in 2015, you had the Cardinals win 100, Cubs 98, the other one 97, the Pirates. Yeah, it was good for a while, but generally it's been pretty average to mediocre. I know that. But if you look in 2022, you know, first of all, they had Michaelis with a 3.29 ERA. They had Wainwright with a 3.71 ERA. They had Quintana and Montgomery combining for a 2.56 ERA. So they had four really good starting pitchers. Okay. And their offense and Helsley was really good in 2022. He missed some time, but before and after he was really, really good. So the Cardinals offense in 2022 with Goldie winning the MVP, Arenado third, Albert Pujols coming in and just exceeding all expectations in the farewell season. You know, Goldie had 35 homers, 115 RBIs. Arenado, 30 homers, 103. Pujols slugged 550 and bashed 24 homers. On fire, basically, the second half of the season. That team also had above-average performances offensively from Brendan Donovan, Lars Nootbaar, Juan Yepes, Nolan Gorman, and Tommy Edman. That was a really good lineup, and it was really good pretty much from top to bottom, all right? It really was. That offense in 2022 finished sixth in the majors in runs, fourth in position player wins above replacement. They had the fifth-ranked offense in baseball, according to Fangraphs. They had the sixth-ranked defense in baseball, according to Fangraphs. They were the 10th best base running team, according to Fangraphs. They were ninth in home runs, and they had the eighth best ERA. My friends, that's a really strong team, okay? It's a really strong team. And Mozeliak supplemented it with two outstanding trades that made that rotation better and gave them legitimate hope going into the postseason. This wasn't like the Cardinals rolling over and sneaking in. They won the division. They ran away from the Brewers. That was an excellent team. And that's the thing that really disappoints me, because that was their chance. You had the MVP and the guy that finished third, both of them wins above replacement through the roof. You had Pujols just exceeding all expectations. It was a dream farewell for him. And that team was strong. I just gave you the numbers, the facts. It was strong in every area, except you have a hardcore team like the Phillies and you blow game one, everything falls apart. It just really does. Now, the other thing to point out, in 21 and 22, the Cardinals went 0-3 in the postseason. And the 3-1 loss to LA and the two straight losses to Philly. In 21 and 22, really good offense in both years, but especially 22. In those three postseason games, they scored four runs in 27 innings. Arenado and Goldie were 2 for 22 with 7 strikeouts in those 3 postseason games. Got nothing else to add. But I don't want to sit here and sign off on this theory that, you know, they didn't try to put a good team around those two. They could have done better in 2021, for sure. I just hollered about that about 5 minutes ago here in the video, right? They absolutely should have gone into 2021 with better and deeper starting pitching instead of having a crisis most of the season until they dragged in here happened Lester, and they did a nice job for them because they were desperate. But I would say the front office could have done a better job in 2021 in terms of the concept of surrounding Arenado and Goldie with better talent. But 2022, I'm sorry, that was a really good team. And that team got a lot stronger when Monty and Quintana came in here. So listen, I never hesitate to swing away when it comes time to like punch at Mo in terms of the moves he hasn't made and the failures and the mistakes. But I can't sit here in 2022 and say, well, you know, they somehow fell asleep on the job. Now, let me beat you to the punch because I know what you're going to say. But Bernie, you forgot to mention he was the guy that put Ali Marmol in there as manager. And you even said he blew game one of the Philly series. Yes. What? I'm going to run away from that? Of course. Of course, in game one of that 2022 series, Marmol was a liability. He sat there with this look on his face. And I remember screaming at the TV. It's like, do something. You got to get him out of here, out of that, off the mound, Helsley, before it's too late. So, yeah, I agree with you. That was the downfall, but not the only downfall. Nobody hit in that series. Juan Yepes hit. That was it. The rookie, right? The pinch hit 2-run home. It gave him the 2-0 lead over the Phils. Other than that, I mean, I love Albert Pujols. He didn't hit in that series, right? Gorman was the other guy that drove in the run. I mean, it's Yepes and Gorman, 2 rookies. They scored 3 runs. They scored, no, I had that wrong. Yepes hit a solo homer, and then Gorman had an RBI later on in game one. So the 2 rookies drove in the only runs. So anyway, I think I have that screwed up. So this is my part about, pardon me for being a little delirious. But the fact is, the veterans, and they had a lot of good hitters on that team that year in 2022, just simply didn't hit in that Philadelphia series. And I apologize for me kind of getting confused there. But again, sometimes I don't write down every note, right? I forget to look things up. So let me shut up now. That's 43 minutes. I've gone long enough. But I'm interested, really, I'll leave you with this. I'm really, truly interested in what you think. We're all assuming, with good reason, that Arenado will be traded. Goldie's already gone. But if you want to limit it to just Arenado or both, what did you think? What is your verdict on their time together in St. Louis, but specifically Arenado and his 4 seasons in St. Louis? If you're going to throw blame around, how would you do it? How would you rank it? All right, I will now go. I promise, finally. It's bedtime, nap time for Bernie. I think it is. All right, thank you all very much for watching the Bernie Miklas Show.